On the phone, we have Jack Mabb, the Columbia County Health Director, who has all sorts of news over COVID-19 since this is just about a peak season, I guess, people are considering. Jack, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. I could, as I've come to say, I could live without this virus, but it is here and it's upon us, so we're doing okay. We're holding our own here.
And you've got some new testing, which everyone has been waiting for, that starts this Friday. Is it Friday, May? I'm trying to do my math here. 4 and 5 is 9.
May 8th.
Yep.
Friday, May 8th is our first drive-up clinic. We're going to be holding it at Columbia Green Community College from 10 to 2. Pre-registration is required. Nobody will be able to drive up and get tested that day without being pre-registered. You can pre-register through our website. You can also pre-register by calling our department number. It's 518-828-3358, and you'll be one of our clerical folks will take your information and help you through that if you're not computer literate. We're going to be doing 100 kits that day, and that's the limitations that the lab placed on us is in terms of how many they can process. They're about to launch an initiative across the state of New York. We were informed of this on Friday that all of the residents and staff of all the nursing homes in Columbia County and other counties across the state will be tested for the virus. So that's a big thing for the lab, and they're going to get hammered with test kits. So again, we're looking at 100 on Friday.
And what do you have to do you have to have certain symptoms, or how do you qualify for the tests on Friday?
Well, and I think everybody, if you've been paying attention to the national news, you know what the symptoms are. We are looking to test people who are symptomatic, and of course, as this disease as our knowledge of the disease has evolved, it started out with a fever and a dry cough, and now there's a real laundry list of symptoms that you can have. So if you have symptoms, I would encourage you to sign up and to register for this thing. Go on the website, give us a call.
And the Columbia County numbers have certainly ticked up recently. Is that because there's more testing? Is that because we're entering our peak or our plateau? Or is it a combination of all those things? Or
And that's a good question, and I think it's a valuable one for me to answer. We have, as of this morning, 223 positives. But I think it's important to look at that and you say that's a big number. Well, Dutchess County to our south is over 3,000. Albany County is well over 1,000. And so Columbia County is sort of a little pocket in between, if you will. Half of those positives are in nursing home residents and or staff. So it's important to understand that our numbers have ticked up. Some of the researchers out there are saying that for Columbia County, may not hit our peak until May or even June, late May, early June. Certainly, the more testing you do, the more positives you get, and I certainly expect that. Once we do have 1,000 test kits, and I want to say again, that's through the generosity of a number of donors. Wanted us to have the test kits, that we were able to purchase them. We are looking into the antibody test, and that's what we get asked that a lot every day. This is the swab test. This will confirm if you have the illness at this time, at the time of the testing, where the antibodies can determine if you've had it or ever have had it. And we are looking to do that as well. So that's coming with the future. And I also would add that we are looking at a walk-up clinic in the city of Hudson, mindful that there are people that don't have access to vehicles, and that's probably going to be our second clinic after this one.
And so is what you said just then gave me like a million questions, but one, is there someone on your staff that's like calling up companies in China trying to get test kits to buy, or how does this process work of you getting test kits? Is the state saying, okay, we've got this many, now you get this many?
Well, no, it wasn't the state. It was purchased independently through my preparedness guy, Chuck Kaiser, did some research on the kits that's available out there. And I would say this too, and the numbers of test kits has opened up a lot in the last couple weeks. It's a different world today than it was 2 weeks ago when it comes to getting hands on test kits. And we vetted a company actually the Sheriff's Columbia County, the New York State Sheriff's Association vetted a company that we eventually bought our kits from. So it's a combination of us having the money to be able to buy our own kits, and but also the kits being more readily becoming more readily available. Manufacturing cranked up. Obviously, there was a need, but also there was a clear opportunity to produce test kits, and so they're becoming more readily available.
And would you prefer that the state was providing you with, and you guys weren't shopping for them?
Well, yes, I'd have to say yes, and I think that there was a feeling down here of there was a frustration on the part of county leaders that there was testing being done all around us, and not in the Twin Counties. And I say the Twin Counties because I often point out that between Columbia and Greene counties, we have 110,000 people, and there was no testing going on down here. The hospital had a limited number of kits. We were given a limited number of kits, not enough to do, you know, test sites. Last week, Rensselaer County, the executive for Rensselaer County complained about the fact there was no testing going on in his county, and now he's got some clinics set up because typically what happens a lot is a provider steps in, someone who's in the for-profit world, who's maybe a urgent care site provider, and steps in and does it. Our partner on this one is Columbia Memorial Hospital. They're actually going to be doing the swabbing, we purchased the kits, and we're also setting up the registration. But CMH is our partner in this.
And I'm guessing it's more complicated than just getting test kits, that you also have to get protective gear and a site and personnel. And explain how that goes.
Well, again, when we knew our kits were on the way, we contacted Columbia Memorial Health and asked them if they would be our partner in this and if they would provide people to do the swabbing. So they're going to provide people to do the swabbing and also just process the kit, put it in, you know, the proper bag and put it in the cooler. The registration, my staff here borrowed the registration from another county in terms of their drive up, modified it to us for our online registration. And we've contacted the Sheriff's Department, and they will be providing security at the site. And also the County Department of Transportation is going to set up the cones so that people know where to drive. And so, yeah, it's a joint effort. I would also say, as of this morning, Catholic Charities has asked if they could be on site and to hand out food to folks who are in line. They recognize that once you drive up for testing and you're tested for the COVID virus, you're supposed to self-quarantine until your results come back. And recognizing that, they said, can we provide food for these folks? Now, we're not talking about a sandwich there. We're talking about food that folks can take home. It'll be done much like you see on TV in other states where there's these long lines of people driving up. It'll pop your trunk. Somebody's going to put food in your trunk for you. And I think it's an added plus, but it's a recognition that these folks should be quarantining and not necessarily going to the stores.
And how soon do they get their test results back? Is there a backlog on that end?
No, actually, it's been fairly consistent at about 2 days.
About 2 days. But if they get a positive test, then they should stay quarantined for at least 14 days, I'm guessing, right? Is that?
Well, not just, yes, that's part of it. But also, if they get a positive test, somebody from my staff is going to contact them and want to talk to. This is the contact tracing that everybody's talking about.
So that's starting.
They're going to want to, we've been contact tracing for, 6 weeks now with all of our positives. And we're going to talk to them and basically find out who they've had contact with. And we're going to contact those individuals, become what we call mandatory quarantines. And if they develop symptoms, then we test them.
And if you've been contact tracing for 6 weeks, then maybe you can answer this question, because I thought you wouldn't be able to. But so why are you know, Columbia and Greene counties are surrounded by Albany County, where there's lots of cases, Rensselaer County, where there's lots of cases, Dutchess County, where there's lots of cases, Ulster County, where there's lots of cases, Western Massachusetts, where there's lots of cases. Why are there fewer cases in Greene and Columbia County so far?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think it's a function of testing. I think the fact that we haven't had a vast majority of our positive results are coming from people driving to Albany, driving to Dutchess, driving to Ulster County to be tested. And we have done some testing here. We have our test kits. And again, we've been very aggressive in testing in two nursing homes in the county, Pine Haven and Barnwell. And we've provided them test kits to test both staff and residents. So I think it's a function of not enough testing going on to ferret out those people who are positives.
So the positive number is probably much higher than what you're reporting, but you don't know because there hasn't been widespread testing.
Exactly. And if you look at what the result of the governor's antibody testing that he did 3,000 kits as of last Friday. I think it was up to 15,000 where they were in supermarkets and they were testing people randomly. Upstate New York, the infection rate was found to be about 2.2%. So if you look at Columbia County, that's, 1,500 people walking around who are positive. And we have, 223 at this point who are confirmed positive. And again, half of those folks are in nursing homes. So we know, we've always known from the beginning that there were positive people in the community. And 80% of the population isn't going to demonstrate symptoms, or their symptoms are going to be so light that they're not even paying attention to them. So they're walking around in the community and, able to infect other individuals. And I think you can also say, I don't go out much. Most of us don't. I do think that we're doing a good job social distancing. I think that the fact that we're a rural community, Dutchess County, Albany County are much more urban areas where there's a lot more opportunity to have contact, and that's going to drive up positive cases as well. I think we're doing a good job of social distancing, and I think that the nature of the county, the rural nature of the county, helps with that. So I think it's a combination of those things, but the more you test, the more positives you get.
And you say that. I was going to ask what your feelings were about the weekend weather, which was 70-plus degrees and sunny. Was there less physical distancing going on this weekend? Do you hear reports of that, or were you concerned about this weekend, or are like you saying, people doing a good job of that physical distancing?
I haven't received any reports in terms of this past weekend. We did receive some reports last week that there was a tailgate kind of an adventure that was going on at Kinderhook Lake. I know the Sheriff's Department was aware of that, and we're going to respond to that. But as of this morning so far, and I'm sure that people were outside. I'm sure that, and I hope they were, get out, walk trails or whatever like that. Take your mask with you. As the governor says, if you're walking by yourself, you don't need your mask on. If you come up on a group of people, put the mask on. But I didn't hear any reports about folks violating the social distancing.
So if people have been good about staying more than 6 feet away from each other in this area, and we've been mostly doing that for 6 or 7 weeks, why is there still a growth in cases?
Well, again, I think that there's a lot more. If you go back even just 2 weeks and look at the number of test sites that were available for people to be tested, it's doubled in terms of the capital region. And the fact that Columbia County residents are willing to drive to Albany or willing to drive to Ulster County, I think we have a lot more positives because we're testing a lot more.
I think
we just discovered those people.
Yeah. Can you tell where it's, is it still mostly based at the nursing homes? Are the prisons still doing okay locally? Or can you tell how it's being spread in the community from the contact tracing you're doing?
Yeah, I don't think we get enough data from that. Virtually every town is affected. If you look at the larger towns that are a little bit more clustered, Kinderhook, for instance, and the city of Hudson, of course, lead the way in terms of numbers. of cases, but you'd expect that because it's, you know, there's a concentration of population, a little bit more, you know, not urban. Kinderhook, certainly not urban, but we're not really, it's kind of across the board in terms of people are affected. We get a sense of that when we interview them. You know, a lot of, we have probably 35, 40 people who work at the two nursing homes that are affected, from physical therapists right on down to CNAs. And we do have an element, probably 25 or 30 individuals who come up from the city, who've come up from the city in their way to escape from it and ended up being positive. Demographic-wise, it is all over the place. Every county, every town in the county, virtually every town in the county has positive people in it. And they tend to come from every walk of life.
And are you starting to be concerned 6 or 7 weeks in about, more concerned, I guess, because you've probably been concerned about this the whole time, but more concerned about mental health issues?
Oh, absolutely. I think my staff, we're quoting the phrase corona fatigue back before it became a part of the media. And that's, you know, I have people that are have been working 7 days a week for six, 7 weeks now. But I think corona fatigue is a real thing. I think it's a very real thing. And we know that the incidence of domestic violence are up. I believe the number I heard last week was 15% in the county. This is tough. This is just tough on people. We're used to being able to get in the car and just go in places. If you go to yesterday, as beautiful a day it was, anytime after 10 o'clock, if you went to Lowe's to get something for your garden or whatever, you stood in line to get in the store because they're limiting the number of people. This is not something that we're used to. And I think that this social distancing thing is tough on people. I do think that we have to stick the course a little bit longer. I hope that the governor starts to ease things up a little bit after the 15th. But yeah, no doubt about it. You know, this is affecting us. You know, our mental health.
Yeah, how's your staff and other essential workers? Because, like you said, you're working a lot more through a time that is a lot more stressful.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm really blessed with what I have in terms of my staff here. They're amazing people, but they also, we talk frequently, and I think that this is a conversation that needs to go on in other places where there's essential workers. We talk frequently about what it is that we're doing to keep ourselves, you know, on solid when it comes to everything. And the county is on a work from home basis for most of the other departments. We do have staff that, at noontime on any given day might say, I really need to work from home this afternoon kind of thing. And that's just a pressure relief valve that we're allowed to do. But at the same time, I've got some staff that just hang in there every day, and they know they're part of something big. They know they're part of something really important in terms of what they're doing. And we're not the frontline people. But you know, when it comes to this, you know, nurses and doctors are amazing too. And they're amazing more so, and they're in a very different way. But, you know, my staff are hanging in tough. They're and we're working to keep each other healthy.
Yeah, I would just, and say the grocery store people too, and I worry about people like that and people collecting trash and the added stress of doing a job and dealing with people too that are also stressed out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is there anything that your staff needs or you wish you had more of supply wise?
Well, I mean, we've been lucky enough to be, you know, we have plenty of PPEs. Everybody's wearing masks. We're doing temperatures twice a day in the building, and we've had some interesting people that have just come forward and said, "I want to do something for your staff. I want to buy them lunch. I want to buy them breakfast." And it's like, well, you do realize that I've got 40 people here. Oh no, I do that. I realize that. Just tell me how I go about doing it. So it's been once a week that somebody from the community has said, I'm paying for breakfast. I'm paying for lunch or whatever. And we set it up. We're moving the business. We're moving it around a little bit among businesses in the county just so that everybody, you know, because they're in a tough spot too. But I think again, as far as my staff goes, they know how to take care of themselves. They're taking good care of themselves in that respect. They certainly appreciate those breaks when they see that there's a when they smell that there's breakfast being cooked in the big conference room at 8:30, they appreciate that to no end. And but we've got somebody who offered for this coming Friday, and it's a great thing.
And I think Columbia Memorial has been on social media thanking local restaurants who've been bringing their folks hot meals too.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's a great community thing to see happen. And I have all the respect in the world for people working at the hospital. And so, or our hospital obviously isn't hammered like, you know, Elmhurst down in Queens. But my God, you know, they're still at the front line and they're still exposed every day and they're still doing it. And they're amazing people.
Are you satisfied with do you have enough tests and have enough stuff? Or is enough being done about the local nursing homes? Because that seems to be the one place locally that the outbreak has been the worst.
Yeah, I think I'm satisfied now that I have test kits. And again, I think that I know that a lot of folks out there who are listening in want to have the antibody test. We are trying to work the angles on that one to see. And I think a lot of people understand that the antibody tests that have been out there are not as accurate as we'd like them to be. The FDA is working like crazy to try to get some approved so that we can get them. And I want to make them available to as many people as I can make them available to.
But
that's my big thing.
Is antibody tests. You'd like to have more access to those. But it's still a hope, I guess, whether those reveal that people are immune, at least on a short-term basis or any basis. There's still so much that's not known about this, right?
Oh, there's tons that we don't know about it. Like I said earlier, and in the very early stages, there was an assumption that fever was the predominant symptom along with a dry cough, and now you can have people who have diarrhea or they throw up for a couple of days, never spike a fever and still be positive. So these are the things that we're learning. And yeah, there's an immense amount that we don't know about the virus and it's spread in the community. You know, you look back to just a couple short weeks ago, they were talking about, they didn't know how long it lasted on surfaces. You know, now then you had labs that cranked it up and did their experiments and found out how long it lasts on surfaces. So the more you know, the better your response. We're just finding out new stuff every single day on it.
From I guess a political point of view, because there's a lot of political talk about this, but from a health point of view, are you concerned if more businesses open soon, or if there's more relaxation in restrictions?
Yeah, I think that I'd have to agree with Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx at the national level. You know, in a perfect world, you don't reopen anything yet, and you let this virus kind of, you know, drop down to a low level. But at the same time, you can't do that. You just can't. You can't keep people bottled up. And you can't keep busy. You don't want to destroy businesses that have been around for 20 years. You know, I'm very concerned about restaurants, food service places in general, and not being able to get back to what they were doing. So, and you know, we are going to have a tick up in the number of positives. And I think we're ready for it. I think that's the thing that the governor was bargaining for, that he wanted to be, you know, absolutely ready in terms of hospital capacity and ventilators and PPEs, you know, the masks. I mean, a month ago it was hard to get masks. Now, you know, there's thousands, you know, available and whatever like that. So I certainly support a partial reopening. I certainly support a new normal where if you go to a restaurant, you know, maybe you go to a restaurant, it's only at 50% capacity, and you wear a mask and the waitress has a mask on and you take your mask off to eat your food and whatever. I support that whole thing. I think that's going to be the new normal. But I also support getting things open up again, at least on a partial basis.
And I think I've seen this reported two different ways. Is Columbia Memorial allowed to do elective surgery right now? Or are they doing elective surgery? Or are you saving
that? I don't believe they started it. And you're right. I've seen it reported two ways. There was a list of hospitals that were allowed to do elective surgery that CMH wasn't on. And then at the same time, the county was identified as a county that elective surgery could happen. I don't believe they've started them back up again, but I at this moment, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that they're they're eligible to start doing the elective surgery.
And you do you think from your perspective, do they have enough capacity to do that, or do you want to reserve this capacity in case things and they're predicted to peak in the next couple of weeks?
Well, as you recall, CMH laid off, they furloughed a bunch of people because the census in the hospital is down. Nobody wants to go to the hospital because there's always a potential that you can get the virus there. I have a friend who works at Albany Med, and Albany Med's in the same shape. Their census is, 700, and it's down to like 450. So if you look at hospitals and as a revenue generating machine that needs to make money in order to keep in business, if they are able to do elective surgeries, maybe they can bring back some of those furloughed people and get started again. So I think that they should be able to do the elective surgeries, and they should be able to get back to some level of normalcy. And they're, of course, they're going to take all the precautions in the world as they do them. But I think that should be part of it. I think getting elective surgeries back should be part of it.
And are you concerned as the county health director that people aren't going to the doctor or the hospital for other reasons, symptoms or other problems because they're afraid to go to the hospital?
Well, I think you have to be a little concerned with that. The plus that has come out of this is telemedicine has sort of taken off. It's become a very real thing in the community. A lot of doctors are doing business over the phone or through a computer, and I think that's all. There are pluses to that, but at the same time, I think I read a story this morning about a gentleman who died in his home because he was afraid to go to the hospital. He died of COVID related complications, not here in Columbia County. He was down in the city, but you don't want that. You want people to at least consult with their doctor, call their doctor if they have symptoms, if they have concerns. The doctor will do business with them over the phone. And at the same time, if you need to go to the hospital, go to the hospital.
And we don't want to keep you too long, but is there anything else that you really want to stress to citizens about this right now?
Well, again, I think I want to make sure that the word gets out there that we're doing this testing, and we're going to continue to run small clinics where we try to get the word out there. If you go on our website, you can sign up to take the test. You can call 828-3358 and talk to one of our folks here if you don't have access to a computer. And I think the other thing is this social distancing thing is hard. It's brutal on our lives, and I think we just need to hold the course. I know there's a lot of people out there who want to protest, and a lot of people want to get back in business. I think that we need to hold the course for the next couple of weeks, and I'm hoping that the governor will open things back up again slowly. Let us get back to some normalcy. But keep wearing those masks, keep social distancing. Let's stay this course.
And we've been speaking with Jack Mabb, the Columbia County Director of Public Health, with those testing out at Columbia Green Community College on Friday, May 8th. From what time is it?
10 to 2.
10 to 2. And you should go to the Columbia County Health website to sign up.
Or call our regular number, 828-3358.
All right. Thank you so much, Jack Mabb, for calling in today and letting everybody know what's going on with coronavirus now.